Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a love story. A love story that is deeper than anything Hollywood can produce. And it has more twists and turns than them too. We're looking at the book of Hosea. So get ready to drop into the world of this 8th century BC prophet and see what the message is for the church today too. What is the issue with stubbornness? What's the issue with stubbornness? Well, in 1922, the UK government made the announcement that the clocks were going to go forward 20 minutes. For one man living in Coventry, he wanted to carry on living in the past. How dare the government advance the clocks, he said. I'll never accept this. No one is going to take 20 minutes out of my life. Now, there's many hills you could die on. But this man chose to let the world run ahead of him. He kept his watch set for the old time. He was 20 minutes late for every appointment. And as a result, he was fired from half a dozen jobs. They won't beat me, he declared. I'm going to die 20 minutes late to show them that I was right. What's the problem with stubbornness? You see, stubbornness, it's a trait that people can laugh about. Sometimes it's something that people can admire. How brave of this man to stick to what he believed to be right. But stubbornness can also be a snare to people, whether that's not liking change or refusing to see another point of view. In our passage this afternoon, we'll see that stubbornness was a massive issue for the people of Israel in Hosea's day. In their stubbornness, the Israelites had joined themselves to idols, and so God had rejected them. Israel had joined themselves to idols, and so God had rejected them. Now we're in the meat of Hosea now. We saw the charges brought against Israel back in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And at this point in Hosea, we're particularly focusing in on the third of those charges. Back in chapter 4, verse 1, no knowledge of God. You see, that's the issue we're talking about because it's still in verse 4. The people don't know God. Now, that isn't a lack of facts about God. It's not that they fail a religious literary test. Instead, it's that the people don't live as they should if they were in relationship with God. This is the people not knowing who God is and living with him in light of that. And so God has, through the prophet Hosea, taken his people to court. So let's have a look at our first point. The Israelites are joined to idols. In the passage before this, we started to see that Israel were becoming what they worshipped. They were emptying their minds as they emptied bottles of wine. They were barking up the wrong tree as they were inquiring of pieces of wood. They were sacrificing on top of the mountains because it felt good. And the people, they were wandering all over the place. They were lacking knowledge of God. So God said they would come to ruin. They were becoming like what they worshipped. And as I said, verse 15 is carrying that straight on. And as this passage develops, we're going to see that things were worse than they first appear. Not only are the people becoming what they worship, but they're also so stubborn that they are unable to change. It's a bit like a smoker who says, I can give up any time that I want. But then they go cold turkey and realise they've gone too far to stop. In this case, the people are so far gone that it can be said that they are joined, they are fused to their idols. And through Hosea, God speaks to Israel. But in verse 15, he does something different. He talks through Hosea, talking to Judah. Now, you might have been in a situation with a toddler. You can tell where I am in my life stage, where you're playing hide and seek. Mummy, I can't see the baby anywhere. Can you see her? You know full well the child can hear you. The sniggering gives that away. In this case, God is speaking to Judah about Israel, knowing that Israel is listening in. In some senses, this is a warning to Judah too, as we're going to see. They do need it. But primarily, God is speaking here to Israel. We see that in what he says. Though you play the whore, O Israel, verse 15, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, and swear not as the Lord lives. Those places, Gilgal, Beth-Aven, they're places that have significance to the people. Those are places of history within Israel. They're places where the prophet Samuel actually used to tour around. Gilgal, the place where Joshua first made base when they entered the promised land. Beth-Aven, even more special than that, connected to Abraham, connected to Jacob, the one whom Israel got its name from. he encountered God there. Places of great meaning for the people, but places that have become idolatrous before God. In fact, Beth Avon, it's probably a play on the name Beth El. Beth meaning house, El meaning God, or in this case, Beth meaning house and Avon meaning deception. A house of deception. Don't go there. Don't go to those places, Israel. Don't go to those places, Judah. They're not good for you. Stop it. And whilst you're at it, don't swear as the Lord lives. That's a phrase with great significance to Israel's history too. But now it's just being said with no thought at all. It's lost all of its meaning. You can't just say things and hope everything's going to be okay. Why is that? Well, because the people are stubborn. Remember our sweet hide-and-seek playing toddler earlier? You see, that same child is able to muster superhuman strength when they have something they're not meant to have. As you try and prise open their hands to remove it, they seem to be able to grip it even more. And just like that child, Israel is stubborn. Verses 17 to 19 give us three pictures of that. Verse 17 says they are joined to idols. Verse 18, they dearly love shame, not just a like, not just a love, but they dearly love shame. And verse 19, they are wrapped up by their idolatry, like a present wrapped by a grandparent at Christmas. They cannot get out. You see, they're stuck in a stubborn spiral, swirling round and round, going down and down the drain. Leave them alone, says God. The people may be worshipping God in a calf image, but it's not God who should be pictured as a calf. It's Israel. They're as stubborn as cows. See, it'd be better for them if they were able to be led like a lamb. But because of their stubbornness, they can't be led anywhere. The people of Israel, they're so joined to their idols, so fused to the idolatry that they love, that they're to be left alone. Like the man and his watch, these people refuse to change, and it's affecting everything. Their stubbornness, well, it's reached its peak. And that's a warning there, isn't it? It's a warning about rejecting God. Like these people, it's still possible to grab hold of sin and idols so tightly that we become like a super strength toddler. As we have things in our lives that we just don't want to let go of. And as time goes on, those things, well, they can start to seem normal. They can be so entrenched that we just don't notice. What was once seen as shocking behaviour can eventually become the norm. Just take the promiscuity of the 1960s. At the time, that was a cultural shock, wasn't it? But today, the same behaviour is going on, and no one is batting an eyelid. People's rejection of God and his ways can become so entrenched that it becomes commonplace. What starts as clay quickly hardens and can't be moved. How many people do we know who have rejected Christianity without a second thought? You see, we need to warn people like Hosea does here. We need to speak to them honestly about what that path leads to. And we need to be aware of it in the church too. As the New Testament uses similar ideas to Hosea, it warns of this kind of thinking in the church. There's a reason why the church needs to have good patterns of church discipline. We're not immune. If we're clasping onto something so tightly, it means we probably let go of God. We need to warn people and speak honestly to them. But as this passage shows, sometimes the best action, if someone is stuck in their ways, is just to leave them alone. Maybe like a sleepwalker, they'll wake up to the madness that they're in. And that's what God says he will do. That's our second point from verses 1 to 7 of chapter 5. Therefore, God will withdraw from them. See, God announces in chapter 5, verse 1, that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming to all the levels of Israel because of their actions. And just like before, we get a whole list of locations, just like verse 15. And this time, each of those places, it's described with hunting language. The actions done in those places have captured, ensnared, spread a net over the people. And so, God's going to discipline them. Because they're so stubborn, God will have to teach them the hard way. Although the people lack knowledge of God, he knows them. Although they are unknowing, they are known. Have a look at verse 3. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. by using both names for the land, God is poetically saying that he knows everything about them. None of their actions are hidden from his sight. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. They do not know God. Remember, that's the issue in this section. So they cannot return to him. Their pride in verse 5 blocks them. They're too proud to return. This pride will cause the people to stumble. It's going to be the same for Judah too. And because of that, God is going to withdraw from them. Verse 6, with their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. Like a man who's cheated on his wife, trying to win her back with flowers from the garage when the marriage is in tatters. I don't know if that's shocking for you, that God would actually let his people go their own way. I mean, we've seen some of that in the previous passage with Rui. But as we saw with Hosea and Gomer back in the introduction to this book, that introduction, it's kind of like the spectacles that we need to wear as we read the rest of this book. See, God will be the only God in these people's lives. And if they won't have that, well, he'll leave them to it. I'm told reliably from a friend on a farm that the thing about cows is that if you push them, they push back. So if you want a cow to move to its left, you push right, and she will push back to the left. You have to push the other way to get them to go the right way. So in leaving his people to it, God is doing the same thing. But that's not unexpected. Actually, God had promised this is what was going to happen back in Deuteronomy 31 and 32. And that is exactly what he would do. And verse 7 says, the people have dealt faithlessly with the Lord and so have borne alien children. Just like Gomer had done to Hosea with children that were not Hosea's. These children are not gods, but they're Baals. They follow the ways of Baal, not the ways of the Lord. And their children are following suit. So God's going to withdraw from them. And with God goes his blessings. In Psalm 81, we're told about a feast of the new moon. The same feast you see there down in verse 7. Let me just read a bit of Psalm 81 for you. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout in triumph to the God of Jacob. Lift up a song. Play the tambourine, the melodious lyre and the harp. Blow the horn on the day of our feasts, during the new moon and during the full moon. You see, what used to be a joyous occasion, a great feast, the new moon, well, it's now going to be a curse on the people. Instead of devouring the food there, the feast is going to devour them and their fields. See, even if the people look religious on the outside, bringing their flocks and their herds and keeping festivals, it all amounts to nothing. God is going to withdraw from them. Rejection cannot be hidden from God. This passage shows us that. But it's easy to think sometimes that we're able to hide from God. Like a child playing hide and seek, the parents know where they really are. The stubbornness of the people is not something you can just cover over with a blanket. As this passage is showing us, God sees all. And many today, they would claim to be religious, just like the Israelites here. If you were to ask the Israelites, say, what are you doing? They'd probably say, well, we're seeking God, as they motion to their flocks and herds to prove it. Similarly, if you ask people today, they might say, well, we're seeking God, look at our righteousness. But God knows all that's going on. Much like the man who refused to advance his watch, unless people are willing to change their ways, they're always going to be too late. This passage, the whole book of Hosea, it's longing for a solution to the issue of idolatry, adultery, for a solution in this section to the lack of knowledge of God. And that's exactly what Hosea wants the people to do. He says it clearly. See, the idea of stumbling that comes up in verse 5 comes up again at the end of the book. Just flick there now with me. Flick to Hosea 14, verse 19. Or verse 9, not 19. 19 doesn't exist. Does your Bible not have it? Let me read that for us. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. See, there's the solution. The solution is to seek after the ways of the Lord and not to stumble in them. On this side of the cross, we can see that solution more clearly, can't we? And so this passage, it should make us more grateful for Jesus. You see, even though our actions don't allow us to turn to God, his do. Even though we run away from God, Jesus, like a good shepherd, came and he found us. He's the one who made God known. He's the one who can change a person's heart. What's the problem with stubbornness? Well, stubbornness can lead to all sorts of problems. Let's not miss this warning. Let's analyze our own hearts and weed out any stubbornness there through sound teaching, sober meditation, and a willingness to change. Don't let it cause us to miss out on knowing God. Jesus has made him known. I hope you found that helpful and edifying. If you have any feedback or questions, feel free to reach out to me via email. The details are in the show notes. But until next time, let's keep praising God this week.